Coming up on Golf Today, live reports from around the golf world as we digest the news of the PGA Tour's new deal with the Public Investment Fund. The commissioner of the PGA Tour joins the show after meeting with players at the RBC Canadian Open. What was their reaction to Jay Monahan? And Rory McIlroy meets the media as the defending champion at the RBC Canadian Open and the PGA Tour's staunchest defender. Now on Golf Today.
Golf Today.
Well, the news that shocked everyone, and I mean everyone, yesterday, as the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia announcing a landmark agreement to unify the game of golf on a global basis. In a joint statement, the agreement promises to promote and grow the game globally for the benefit of all stakeholders and ends any pending litigation. Here are the notes from the merger. They will combine commercial operations. The mission is to unify the game of golf on a global basis. The new collectively owned entity, the name TBD, this is important, will be for profit going forward. The PIF will make capital investment into the new entity to facilitate its growth. The PGA Tour will remain as a 501c6 tax-exempt organization and retains administrative oversight of the PGA Tour, including sanctioning of events. All parties mutually agree to end all pending litigation, and there will be a process to be established for players to reapply for PGA Tour or DP World Tour membership after the 2023 season. Hello and welcome inside our Golf Channel Worldwide headquarters. I'm George Savarikas alongside Whit Watts, and this is Golf Today. Let's welcome in PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan. Jay, yesterday, arguably the most important players meeting you've had during your time as PGA Tour commissioner. You could even say back to the formation of the PGA Tour in 1968. What was your message to the players and how was it received?
Well, listen, great to be with you both. And you're right. Yesterday was a landmark day, and we had as I entered into the player meeting, as you guys just walked through, to be able to announce that we've partnered with the DP World Tour and the Public Investment Fund to unify the game and to do so under one umbrella and to do so with the PGA Tour in a control position. It's an exciting day. I mean, for our sport, you think about the DNA of our sport, the history of our sport. I think the fracturing has been very difficult. It's been a distraction for our fans, and to be able to say that we're now on a path of unification, and ultimately for our fans to think that, as we go forward here over time, to be able to reunite and bring the best players in the world together on the same stage, to be able to have a partner that can invest back in the fan experience, albeit at our tournaments, all through our broadcast agreements and arrangements, and to be able to do so in a way we're investing in the game throughout the world is very exciting. And, again, to be able to take someone that has been a competitor, an aggressive competitor over the last 2 years, and to have that entity now be a productive minority investor and for us to all be aligned is very exciting. But to your question on the player meeting, it's this news was a shock to many, including to a lot of our players. And so to be able to walk into that player meeting, five and a half hours after it was announced, there are a lot of questions. At times it was an intense meeting, and I tried to address what this means for them. And ultimately, it's a great day for the game. It's a great day for the PGA Tour and our players, and that's something that will bear itself out as we go down this path together as partners. But listen, I think it's the suddenness of this is a shock to the membership and a setback in some respects, but we've begun the process of communicating and starting to identify for them how this is going to work and all the positives to this, recognizing there are a lot of questions.
And Jay, that leads to the next question. You mentioned the word shock. Given the magnitude of the deal, why were the members of this member-led organization not included or not told about it?
You know, I think if you, you know, anytime you're, let's just go back over the last couple of years. I think the feud between the PGA Tour and LIV has been pretty well documented. And I think when you get into conversations like this, there needs to be confidentiality. And for me, I've spent my entire tenure here listening to our players. You know, over the last couple of years, I'm so proud of the way that they have rallied behind the tour, rallied behind this organization. You know, every single conversation that I've had that preceded our discussions with the PIF, you know, was really driven by those conversations and ultimately trying to do the best thing for the PGA Tour and our sport. But if you start opening this up and you're asking opinions and you're sharing where this is going, ultimately it's going to be very difficult for us to be able to get to the result that we've gotten to. And as the leader of this organization, that's one of the great challenges I had. I'm someone that always wants to be transparent and always wants to communicate exactly where we are. But in this situation, it was important that I, you know, work alongside our board and pursue what we thought was best for the PGA Tour and maintain that confidentiality. Because, again, I think if it hadn't been that way, I'm not certain we would have gotten to this result.
Jay, you have players in the meeting I spoke with after. They said they felt a sense of betrayal and hypocrisy from what was the outward-facing messaging from the PGA Tour to then feel blindsided by the announcement that was made yesterday. What are the steps to regain trust in the membership that the messaging will be more transparent going forward so they understand what the next steps are?
Yeah, I think, listen, there's no question that yesterday was a setback, and I've had, you know, setbacks before. And I think in terms of rebuilding the trust, it starts with conversations that, you know, were had through the night last night and being here in the morning and talking to players and explaining to them this deal and how this is a great outcome for every PGA Tour member and the game. And I don't expect everybody to understand it right off the bat. I think this is going to take some time. But I think as you look out over the horizon, I'm entirely confident when I talk to our players that that's where we are going to take them. So that's, you know, that is essentially where we are right now. And we'll continue to have those transparent conversations now that we're in a position where we've identified what the framework is and ultimately where we're going to go. But listen, I mean, the PGA Tour is in a control position with a productive investor. We've got a lot of flexibility in our business. We have an opportunity through productive investment capital to reinvest in our tour and our membership, to reinvest in our game. And I think this is something that when anybody looks 3, 5, 10 years down the road, I firmly believe, I'm confident that those results will be delivered.
In retrospect, looking back over the last 12 to 18 months, maybe 2 years, would you change anything about how you approached the topic of LIV? And if so, what would you change?
You know, I think there are always things that that you would change. And what I've tried to do is in every single moment with the information that I had and my knowledge of where things stand, try and make the best decisions and communicate those decisions, you know, to the membership. And as we sit here today, I understand the criticism I'm receiving around the hypocrisy and me being hypocritical given my commentary and my actions over, you know, over the last couple of years. And as we go forward, as we went forward and we reached a compromise, you know, that was seriously, I mean, that was obviously one of my great considerations. But any hypocrisy I have to own, nobody else. That's on me. It shouldn't be directed at the membership. It should be directed at me. But again, as we sit here today, I'm confident that we've done something that's in the best interest of our sport and ultimately in the best interest of PGA Tour members.
Jay, the 9/11 Families United made a strong statement yesterday. They said you co-opted the 9/11 community in taking a moral stance against LIV. How would you respond to that group?
Well, I read Terry's comments. I obviously acknowledge her loss and completely understand her position. And to the question that you were just asking, you know, I think about the fact that I allowed confidentiality to prevail here. And in allowing confidentiality to prevail, I did not communicate to very important constituents, including the families of 9/11. And I regret that. I really do. But as we sit here today, you know, I think it's important to, you know, to reiterate that I feel like the move that we've made and how we move forward is in the best interest of our sport. We've eliminated those fractures. But for any difficulties I've caused on that front, again, I have to own that as well, and that comes back to communication.
Was this strictly a financial decision to save the PGA Tour?
No, this was an opportunity, as I've said a number of times here, to unify the game, put the PGA Tour in a control position, to do so alongside the DP World Tour and the PIF. And, you know, as it relates to control, it's to do it in a way that's going to benefit, you know, our members and to benefit our game. It, obviously, financially, that's always a consideration. It's financial over the last couple of years and some of the adjustments that we've had to make. But financially, looking forward, what puts the PGA Tour in the most secure position possible? And I think by doing this deal and coming together and collaborating, we've done just that.
Jay, what do you say to players like Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, who reportedly turned down large, large sums of money from the public investment fund to stay loyal to the PGA Tour?
I say that their loyalty will be rewarded. I'm going to spend every single waking hour as we move forward here. We finalize this agreement, and we move into the future, that the players that have created the PGA Tour have created this pro-competitive, legacy-driven juggernaut that have articulated and supported the direction that we're going in. Ultimately, the decision we made, I believe, is going to make it better for all of our players. And loyalty, ultimately, as a leader, always needs to be rewarded. And how that manifests itself is something I'm going to spend a lot of time working on. And I think when we're having this conversation down the road, that's something I look forward to being more specific about.
Jay, part of the partnership involves a mutual agreement to end the ongoing litigation that was occurring. Also curious about the Justice Department's antitrust inquiry into the PGA Tour that has been taking place as well.
Listen, I think this news is, we're creating more opportunities for players through this announcement. We're creating more growth for the industry. We're confident in our position as it relates to the DOJ investigation.
Jay, let's look ahead at what comes next in the process. In your mind, when will a new framework for the professional game take shape?
Listen, I think a new framework will take shape. Difficult for me to say at this time. I mean, what I will tell you right now is that nothing is changing as it relates to the completion of our season and hopefully our 2024 PGA Tour schedule that we'll be announcing in the coming weeks. As we get further along here, I'm happy to share my perspective on timing. We've got a lot of work to do before I can be more specific. You know, we want to get to a place where I can do that, but again, more work to do.
Jay, yesterday when CNBC broke the news, PIF Governor Yasser Al-Rumayyan said the timeline to act on this memorandum of agreement would be a few weeks, which seemed a bit expeditious. Do you think that timeline is correct? And for the viewer at home, would this mean going forward that the PIF would be the sole investor into the PGA Tour?
Listen, I think as it relates to timing, I have misjudged timing on so many things with you guys in the past that, you know, I'm not going to weigh in on that one. I think it will probably take some time here between, you know, now and the end of the season. But if it's the next couple weeks, that'd be great. And as we go forward here, it's important to note not a dollar has been invested at this point. These are details that we need to work out. That's what we are going to do. And when we can clearly articulate how this is all going to work, that's exactly what we will do. But there's no doubt that the framework agreement that we've announced has the PIF investing in the PGA Tour and ultimately investing in growth initiatives that benefit the fans and benefit players going forward.
And Jay, when will we hear from you next down the road?
You know, I'm going to be, if it's not earlier, I would imagine it'll be early the week of the Travelers Championship.
Jay, as always, thanks so much for your time. Obviously, tectonic changes in the professional men's game going forward.
Thank you both.
So obviously, there is still a lot of work to be done. It is a framework, and it is your last question was well taken in that the PIF and the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour are creating a new business. It's been portrayed, particularly in social media, as a merger. That's not the case. They're talking about creating a new entity, a for-profit entity that is a partnership between those bodies. But it sounds like there's still quite a few details to be worked out.
The devil will be in the details, like I was saying yesterday. It's just a memorandum of agreement. Yasser saying a few weeks in talking with other people who are very familiar with the M&A world yesterday, they were saying that's a very optimistic timeline, that with just the levels of complexity going into this, 3 to 6 months could be more realistic, which would place us towards the fall or more towards the end of the year. It seemed like a lot of the timetables that they were mapping out or when a DP World Tour member could try and apply for reinstatement, or a former DP World Tour member who's now on live, or reinstatement to the PGA Tour, both of them earmarked after the 2023 season. So I think right there gives you kind of a realistic framework for when we could actually see some finality and clarity to what this new for-profit entity will actually look like conceptually going forward.
I do agree that that timeline seems awfully ambitious. To try to get this online by 2024, I'm just not sure exactly how that's going to happen.
It doesn't seem feasible, but of course you want to at least lay something out. And with how stunning it was to the golf world, the sports world, everyone in between, to then say, oh, we'll figure it out in 6 or 7 months.
Right.
I think the blowback would have even been substantially more. But to say, oh, in a matter of weeks, that gives everyone an indication of, okay, we want to make this happen. You have to make that three willing parties, DP World Tour, PGA Tour, and the Public Investment Fund, who they want this behind them. They want to walk in lockstep going forward and have this sketched out. So I think that's why they set such a proactive timetable to get from point A to point B with a lot of zigzags in between to really hammer home the details.
Jay Monahan used the word shock. He was not the only one. The PGA of America issuing a statement that read, "We were pleased, relieved, and like others, surprised to learn this morning that the division within the men's elite professional game appears to be on a pathway to resolution. We look forward to learning further details in time. Our actions will, as always, remain focused on delivering on our mission to serve PGA professionals and grow the game. During this time of abundant opportunity in golf, we look forward to collaborating with other golf industry leaders to continue to advance our sport with our members at the forefront of those efforts.
How about that to get the show started here on Golf Today? Coming up next, we're going into the media center, getting the reaction of this big news from world number three. Rory McIlroy had been so vocally a staunch supporter of the PGA Tour. His reaction to the 180 with this new merger, that's straight ahead.
Golf Central Update, brought to you by Callaway Golf.
As the PGA Tour's website puts it, quote, where there was once rivalry, there is now unity. The PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia have a framework agreement in place to create a new collectively owned for-profit business unit. That was the dominant storyline yesterday, and that continues today.
Flashback a year ago, and remember the scene at the RBC Canadian Open. Rory McIlroy putting on a show, winning this event for the second time in a three-year span, one in 2019 and again in 2022. Taking it for the second time, McIlroy closed with that 8-under 62 to finish two clear of Tony Finau and win this event. And Rory, after winning the 2022 RBC Canadian Open, said, "This is a day I'll remember for a long, long time. 21st PGA Tour win, one more than someone else." Wink, wink, Greg Norman. That gave me a little extra bit of incentive today and happy to get it done. And Rory McIlroy, the defending champ at this week's RBC Canadian Open, has been the Tour's staunchest advocate, publicly facing everyone, wanted to hear what he had to say about the news that came out yesterday. McIlroy meeting with the media today at Oakdale Golf and Country Club in Toronto.
It's nice to be back. You know, anytime you can come back and defend a title, sort of wherever that is in the world, it's nice to be able to do that. Obviously, the Sunday last year was, to me, one of the best experiences I've ever had playing on tour, you know, battling it out with JT and Tony down the stretch. You know, Rosie was on course to, you know, trying to shoot 59. There was a ton of low scores, you know, battling with those two guys and, you know, JT and Tony being two of the best players in the world and, you know, coming out on top. Yeah, it was really nice. Nice to be able to defend a title and, you know, I felt like the support I got out there was absolutely amazing, and you know, I'm looking forward to playing in that sort of atmosphere again this week.
All right, we'll take some questions out here. If you have a question, we'll get a microphone to you. We'll start with Sean on the left here.
Hey, Rory. Yesterday's news, I guess, how and where were you when you received it, and how did it make you feel?
I got a text message on Monday night, I guess, from Jimmy Dunn saying, "Hey, can I give you a call in the morning?" So I said, "Sure." Jimmy rang me at about 6:30 yesterday morning. We had a chat, took me through the news, took me through the deal, the structure of the deal, what it meant for us, what it meant for the DP World Tour. I learned about it pretty much at the same time everyone else did. It was a surprise. I knew there had been discussions going on in the background. I knew that lines of communication had been opened up. I obviously didn't expect it to happen as quickly as it did. But I really think that, you know, from what I gathered, the tour felt they were in a real position of strength coming off the back of the DP World winning their legal case in London. It sort of weakened the other side's position, and you know, they went in there, and you know, the way Jimmy described it, you know, Rory, sometimes you got too itty over water and you just got to go for it, and you know, that's what they did. And you know, I think ultimately when I try to remove myself from the situation and I look at the bigger picture and I look at 10 years down the line, you know, I think ultimately this is going to be it's going to be good for the game of professional golf. I think it secures the it unifies it and it secures its financial future. So you know, there's mixed emotions in there as well, as there's going to be. I don't understand all the intricacies of what's going on. It's a very what's the word? You know, there's a lot of ambiguity. There's a lot of things still to be sort of thrashed out. But at least it means that the litigation goes away, which has been a massive burden for everyone that's involved with the tour and that's playing the tour. And we can start to work toward, you know, some sort of way of unifying the game at the elite level.
Adam on the left.
Rory, has over the last day with the different meetings and the conversations you've had with players, has your opinion changed at all? Have you sort of started to see where this is all going? And are you excited about this? Are you optimistic about this? Kind of, as you project it forward, what do you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think the one thing that I think was really misconstrued yesterday was, you know, all the headlines were PGA Tour merges with LIV, and LIV has got nothing to do with this, right? I mean, it's the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and the Public Investment Fund are basically partnering to create a new company. You know, this has gotten, you know, I think that's where I was a little frustrated, because all I've wanted to do and all I've wanted, you know, in the past year from basically this tournament is to protect the future of the PGA Tour and protect the aspirational nature of what the PGA Tour stands for. And I hope that this does that, but, you know, I think with the headlines being merges with LIV, like, that's not the, I mean, if you look at the structure of how it's structured down, this new company sits above everything. Jay's the CEO of that. So technically, anyone that is involved with LIV now would answer to Jay. So, you know, the PGA Tour have control of everything. And the one thing as well is, you know, whether you like it or not, the PIF are going to keep spending money in golf. At least the PGA Tour now controls how that money is spent. You know, so I'd, you know, if you're thinking about some, you know, one of the biggest sovereign wealth funds in the world, would you rather have them as a partner or an enemy? At the end of the day, money talks, and you'd rather have them as a partner.
Given that the DOJ was already looking into the PGA Tour for antitrust violations and all that, how much of an uphill battle do you think this is going to be to push this through going forward now that the two sides have kind of come together and are operating together here?
That's way above my pay grade. I have no idea how the Department of Justice operates. I have not been involved in any of those discussions, and it would be very silly and naive of me to comment on that.
All right, we'll go to Lucas right here on the aisle.
Hi, Rory. I know it's early, but how does an announcement like this impact tournaments like the Canadian Open, for example, one of the storied events on the PGA Tour?
I mean, I feel bad for RBC and the Canadian Open to think about what went on this time last year and then the bombshell that was dropped. I mean, RBC have been one of the biggest supporters of the PGA Tour over the last 10 years. They, you know, this year they're supporting a designated event at Hilton Head. They're sponsoring their National Open. They're pouring tens of millions of dollars into the PGA Tour that you know, the players obviously benefit from. So I really feel bad, because, you know, being such a great partner and having this stuff sort of dropped on you 2 years in a row is very unfair. As to what it looks like going forward, you know, I'd like to say that things don't change. I'd like to think that the Canadian Open keeps on thriving, and just like every other event on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I think the PGA Tour are hopefully going to announce their 2024 schedule here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, I don't think that'll, you know, I don't expect that to change.
Another one on the right here.
Rory, Simon Dingley from CBC News. We heard there was a lot of anger in the clubhouse yesterday in the meeting with the commissioner. Do you still have confidence in Jay Monahan as commissioner of the PGA?
Yeah, I do. And look, I've dealt with Jay a lot closer than a lot of those guys have, and from where we were a couple of weeks ago to where we are today, I think the future of the PGA Tour looks brighter as a whole, as an entity. You know, what that looks like for individual players in terms of keeping a tour card and, you know, bringing players back into the fold, and then that, you know, sacrifices other people. That's where the anger comes from, right? And I understand that, and there still has to be consequences to actions. You know, the people that left the PGA Tour irreparably harmed this tour, started litigation against it. Like, we can't just welcome them back in. Like, that's not going to happen. And I think that was the one thing that Jay was trying to get across yesterday, is like, guys, we're not just going to bring these guys back in and pretend like nothing's happened. Like, that is not going to happen. So I do have confidence in him. I think you ask the people around him that deal with him in a business sense, whether it's the directors of the board of the PGA Tour or the title sponsors that he deals with. I mean, he seems to be a very impressive individual when it comes to business.
Second question. I know you and many other golfers were offered substantial amounts of money to join LIV.
I was never offered any money.
Oh, my apologies. Should the golfers who maybe stayed loyal and turned down LIV, should they be made whole financially?
I mean, the simple answer is yes. The complex answer is, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. Right? And that's all gray area and up in the air at the minute. But yeah, there's, you know, it's hard for me to not sit up here and feel somewhat like a sacrificial lamb, and, you know, feeling like I've put myself out there and this is what happens. Again, removing myself from the situation, I see how this is better for the game of golf. There's no denying that. But for me as an individual, yeah, there's just going to have to be conversations that are had.
Jason and then John on the left.
Rory, you mentioned that this has really nothing to do with LIV Golf, but do you foresee you and other PGA Tour players having to play some sort of team events moving forward into the fall, or a series of them?
So I think Yasser is very... So the PGA Tour are already doing their own sort of team thing, right? We're going to do TGL, which is, you know, it's not on a golf course, and but it's a team type of event, and it's an entertainment product, and, you know, that stuff was already starting to happen, but it was very delineated, right? So you had, like, proper competitive golf, like we're playing this week, and you have more entertainment type of golf that you get more into the team atmosphere, and you bring tech into it, and it's a more made for TV type of deal. I would say an element of team golf might still stay. It certainly, in my opinion and my hope, is it won't be under the LIV umbrella. It's something that the PGA Tour will control. The PGA Tour will operate, and it will hopefully look very different to what LIV has been.
Second question, how much of a distraction is this as you try to go and win this tournament three times in a row?
Yesterday was tough. I think the shock of it, the surprise of it. I wasn't looking forward to this, to be honest with you. But, you know, once we all get done here and you write your stories and say what I say or quote me or whatever it is, I'm going to go to the range and do some practice and try to get ready for a golf tournament.
John.
Hey, Rory. John Chidley Hill from the Canadian Press. A lot of fans are upset at this news. The war of words between the PGA Tour and LIV got very heated and fans got very involved. What do you say to fans who are disappointed in this deal?
But it's not LIV. I think that's the thing. I still hate LIV. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate LIV. Like, I hope it goes away, and I would fully expect that it does. And I think that's where the distinction here is. This is the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the PIF. Very different from LIV. All I've tried to do is protect what the PGA Tour is and what the PGA Tour stands for, and I think it will continue to do that. So, look, going forward, I hope that there's, you know, there may be a team element, and you're going to see maybe me, maybe whoever else play in some sort of team golf, but I don't think it'll look anything like LIV has looked, and I think that's a good thing.
Just as a follow-up, I mean, you do see why fans are upset, though. I see what you're saying, that it's not LIV, it's the PIF. But nonetheless, you know, during this back and forth over the past year, at one point, Jay Monahan said a deal like this would never happen out of respect for the victims of 9/11. Obviously, you're not responsible for what Mr. Monahan says, but you can see why this has stirred up a lot of emotions in fans, right?
Of course. You know, I said it to Jay yesterday, you've galvanized everyone against something, and that thing that you galvanized everyone against, you've now partnered with. So, yeah, of course I understand. It is hypocritical. It sounds hypocritical. The one thing I would say is, again, whether you like it or not, the PIF and the Saudis want to spend money in the game of golf. It is, they want to do this, and they weren't going to stop. So how can we, you know, the thing for me, and this is this one thing that I've always thought about, how can we get that money into the game but use it the right way? And I think that's what this ultimately will do, hopefully. I mean, that's my hope.
Yeah, one in the front right over here.
Just over here. You've said a couple of times now, maybe two or three times, if I remove myself from it and kind of trying to kind of forecast a bit further down the line, but is that a hint that there are bits of you that are still uncomfortable with, you know, you're a football watcher, you've seen the reaction to Newcastle United's takeover over the last year and the Saudi kind of moves in soccer and other sports.
Yeah.
Is there a bit of you that's still uncomfortable with just how cozy Saudi Arabian money Saudi Arabia and their money is now in golf? Like, a lot of people would see that it controls a hell of a lot of golf.
I've come to terms with it. I see what happened in other sports. I see what's happened in other businesses. And honestly, I've just resigned myself to the fact that this is, you know, this is what's going to happen. Like, this is, it's very hard to keep up with people that have more money than anyone else. And again, if they want to put that money into the game of golf, then why don't we partner with them and make sure that it's done in the right way? And that's sort of where my head's at.
Got time for a couple more. We got one on the right here, and then we'll go to the back.
Thanks, Rory. I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts or feelings or insight as to what this does to the Ryder Cup and the DP World Tour. And I ask that just how it sounds, but also, as you are aware, the European Tour is headed by a Canadian.
I'm very aware of that. Very proud Canadian. I don't think it changes. You know, the ruling in that arbitration court was upheld that the European Tour can uphold the rules and regulations and sanction people for leaving the tour, for harming the tour. And again, I think it's a moot point because all those guys have resigned their membership. If you're not a member of the European Tour, you can't play the Ryder Cup. So I, to me, it's a moot point.
In the back.
Good morning, Rory. Walter Rigobon, Zoomer Radio in Toronto. I'm going to give you a bit of a break from some of this conversation. We're at a very special place here, the Oakdale Golf and Country Club. It's special in a lot of ways. Special for me. I caddied here when I was a kid. You've now played 9 holes at Oakdale. And tell me your first impressions of the course and how are you going to play 18 differently the next time?
I played it okay today. I made a birdie. I mean, the only way I'd want to play it differently is make an eagle. There was a couple of greens on that back nine that were quite severe. You know, so there's limited hole locations that you're going to be able to use on some greens, but you have to be very wary of where you put the ball on the greens. You start getting yourself above the hole on some of those greens, it's gonna become very, very tricky. I think it's a good setup. The rough is incredibly thick. It's long, very hard to control your ball out of the rough. I think there's quite a few greens where you can tuck pins away, you know, behind bunkers and stuff. So if, you know, you need to get the ball in play and be able to put spin on your ball to get close to some of those holes. So I thought the back nine was good. I thought it was quite scoreable. There's quite a few birdie chances out there. I've heard that the front nine's a little more difficult. There's a few very tough par fours on that front nine. And yeah, I mean, thankfully tomorrow I'm starting on the easier nine, so hopefully get off to a good start, and then yeah, I'll be playing the front nine blind, but you know, hopefully Harry's walked it a couple of times and gives me the right lines.
Got time for two more on the left for here.
Rory, welcome to Canada. How are you able to sort of quail a lot of the noise that comes around you? You played great through three rounds at the PGA Championship, such a hard course, Memorial in a perfect spot, such a hard course. But anytime you don't win, the perception is like Rory let down. But you know, you're tackling these really difficult layouts and you're putting yourself in a perfect spot. On that note, we have a U.S. Open next week. How familiar on that course? And did you get a chance to talk to Jack yet? Because we picked up on the mic when you walked off 18 at Memorial, said he wanted to sort of have a sit down.
Yeah. Look, any time that I'm in contention and I don't win, I there's no one more disappointed than I am, right? You know, I want to go out there and win golf tournaments. Sunday at Memorial was really tough. It was the conditions got very, very tricky. The greens got incredibly firm. The later off in the day that you teed off, I felt the more at a disadvantage you were. You know, I held a putt on Saturday night on the 18th green to get into the final group. If I had missed that putt, I would have been five groups earlier. And I feel like being five groups earlier actually would have been a better thing. Just sort of how firm and fast the golf course played as the day went on. So it was tough. I mean, I bogeyed the two par fives on the front nine with, you know, in really good positions. So, that wasn't great. But anytime you go through something like that on a Sunday afternoon, you learn from it. And, you know, the great thing about golf, and this is hopefully going to be the great thing about golf going forward, is there's always next week. There's always next week to right the wrongs from the week before and try to, you know, learn from those situations and do better the next time you're out there. So, I was disappointed that I didn't play better on Sunday, but, I've got another chance this week to get myself in contention in a golf tournament and try to win. Now, talking about LACC, I have not played there yet. I'll first, sort of lay eyes on it next Monday, when I get to LA. I've watched some videos on YouTube. I know the look of the course and the topography a little bit and sort of what to expect, but you don't get a real grasp of it until you're actually out there and your feet are on the ground. So I'm excited. I mean, I've got 4 days of, competitive golf to get through here first and trying to win my third Canadian Open. And, you know, that's at the forefront of my mind, but obviously with a major next week as well, I'm looking forward to that.
Got time for one more on the left.
Just to go back to one more about yesterday, the players meeting, I think a lot of the reports sort of described some frustrations and just your sense of what was said and sort of the mood of that meeting in any sort of, way that it stood out to you.
Look, it was heated. It was, people were surprised. People felt like they were in the dark about all this. Most of the gripes come from the guys that are, trying to hold on to their cards, and they feel like things have already been taken away from them this year with the designated events and smaller fields and no cuts and weighted FedEx Cup points for the larger events with the stronger field. So, they were already feeling somewhat vulnerable, and then whenever this news is brought about, there's only gonna be one reaction to that, and I understand that. And honestly, it's hard for me to relate to those guys because I've never been in that position. I try to empathize with it, but it's hard for me to relate to them fully. But I certainly empathize with their point of view.
All right, Rory, thank you very much for your time and best of luck this week.
Thank you.
Roy's are always thoughtful and insightful when meeting with the media. I was taking some notes from that 22-minute press conference he had in the media center up in Toronto, Ontario. He said, feel like a bit of a sacrificial lamb for being the mouthpiece over the last year for the PGA Tour with the 180, with what occurred over the last seemingly 24 hours. He was tipped off just before the announcement came, but knew that talks were in the pipeline. Still hates Liv, but thinks there'll be some type of team concept on the PGA Tour. Just hope it doesn't resemble LIV. What stood out to you from what Rory had to say?
What stood out to me was how much he understands about what this deal is and the fact that he, too, was emphasizing the fact that this is not a merger between the PGA Tour and LIV. It is an investment from the PIF into a brand new business that the PGA Tour will have administrative control of. I'm looking at an article right now online. I'm not going to call out the magazine, but it's a respected golf publication that's referring to it as a merger. And people still are using that word. And I was struck by just exactly how much he knows and how much he understands about the process and his willingness to say, okay, on that topic, I can't speak to it. And there's too much of that. There's not enough of that going on right now. People need to say, we don't know the full story. We don't know exactly how this is going to break down. But McIlroy seems to have a pretty good grasp.
Yeah, and I think Rory diving into the details as far as the injection of capital that the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia will provide the PGA Tour, I think where the lines get blurred is that LIV Golf, in some semblance, we're not sure if it'll cease operations, right, but they have said LIV Golf players can then return to the DP World Tour and PGA Tour, meaning those players would then merge back in to what we've seen with the PGA Tour ecosystem and the DP World Tour ecosystem, and there will be some type of team concept going forward. So it makes it seem like operationally there'll be some merging of the key actors. The investment is what the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia is making into the PGA Tour and DP World Tour. And when we had Commissioner Jay Monahan on earlier, if they're taking on outside capital, and this is the first time it's happening in a U.S. sports league, that's massive. The NBA did announce back in December that they're opening to sovereign wealth funds purchasing NBA teams. Hasn't transpired yet, but the PGA Tour is the first domino to really fall. But clearly there was a need for cash if that's what the end game was, Whit.
And you pointed out also off the air before the show that this is by far not the only sports entity that the PIF has invested in. I mean, it's been well documented. The Premier League, Formula One, various different...
WWE.
Exactly. So if they're going to put their money into this new entity, this new business unit, clearly they see a future for professional golf. And you know, they don't spend money foolishly. They're putting their money where they believe they're going to get a return on the investment.
Never understood people who said, oh, it's just going to be an endless money pit. They want some ROI on the capital that they're investing. Some of it will be financially. Some of it will be from a marketing standpoint. If you look at the timeline with Rory McIlroy, and of course he's been the mouthpiece, in essence, for the PGA Tour, but I thought with these quotes from July of 22 last year when he was talking to BBC Sport, he said, if these people are serious about investing billions of dollars into golf, I think ultimately that's a good thing, but it has to be done the right way. And I think the more they invest, having it be invested inside the existing structures, I think that's the thing I've tried to advocate for the last few months. I think at this point, people are wanting to spend that much money into golf. That's wonderful. I just wish that we could have spent that much money within the structure that has existed for many decades in golf instead of being a big disruptor. That was Rory 11 months ago, and that's where we end up.
And that disruptor being LIV, and as you said, that might go away. I mean, I've read equal numbers of stories saying it's the best thing that ever happened to LIV, and equal numbers saying LIV will cease to exist, and no one knows the answer to that yet.
And we've heard from a lot of PGA Tour players on Golf Channel the last couple days, have not heard from LIV guys, and I think there's still a lot of unknowns for LIV. Are they going to have the same type of schedule going into 2024? Will it be limited? How soon are these guys going to be reassimilated to the PGA Tour? So, hey, any LIV golf guys who want to speak with us here on Golf Today, more than welcome to share your thoughts on, is this an amazing thing to happen to LIV, or were you able to cash out and now they're figuring out what the re-entry point will be within the existing framework that we had seen in the golf world for decades and decades up until this point.
Stepping aside on Golf Today, busy couple of days, isn't it? Still to come, the most recent winner on the DP World Tour, Tom McKibben, joining the show. His thoughts on a thrilling Sunday, his thoughts on the future of the DP World Tour after yesterday's news. Sunday's final round of the Porsche European Open. Tom McKibben getting his first win on the DP World Tour. A nervy play on the final hole. Go ahead and go for it. And then a two-putt birdie. He began the day in a six-way tie for the lead. Shot 70 on Sunday to finish at 9 under. The 20-year-old now 23rd in the Race to Dubai rankings. And Tom joining us right now. Congratulations, young man. That play at the 72nd was the stuff of legend. Was there ever any doubt in your mind about that shot?
No, not really. I guess I just decided to take it on. I think sort of in my mind, it was the right shot to play, and it sort of made sense at the time. But looking back on it, it was a pretty risky shot.
A few days later now, is it sunk in? I know a goal of yours was to win on the DP or to make the DP World Tour, and now you've already won on the DP World Tour.
I think it's starting to sink in a bit more. Definitely sort of a soon after it hadn't really. It was sort of everything goes so fast and there's so many things to do that you don't really have time to sit there and think. But I think since flying home on Monday and just having the last couple of days to sort of sit and sort of look back on it, I think it sort of has started to sink in.
And speaking of sinking in, has it started to occur to you exactly what it means to be a winner in terms of your security on tour? It really changes the path of your career. Have you had a chance to think about that yet?
Probably a little bit, yeah. I think it definitely has changed everything a little bit, made life a little bit more easier, and sort of can plan a few things a bit better and sort of prepare for probably every event sort of the way I would like to, instead of having to play events when I don't really want to, but I feel like I have to and stuff like that. But I think ultimately I'm probably just going to try and be the same and play as much as possible and sort of just keep trying to go the way I am.
Tom, you won the World Junior Championship back in 2015. You've been hearing the Rory McIlroy comparisons for years in Northern Ireland. Of course, I mean, you play out of Hollywood Golf Club, so it's only natural. We just heard from Rory McIlroy, who's defending his championship at this week's RBC Championship on the PGA Tour. How has Rory been a sounding board and a guide for you as you're embarking on your professional journey?
Yeah, he's been great to me, and he's helped me so much along the way. And he's been great. I've been fortunate to play a lot of golf with him and spend a lot of time with him, and it's been really beneficial for me, and it's helped me definitely. I don't think I'd probably be here right now chatting to you guys if it wasn't for him and all the help that he's given me.
With this news, and I know it's just sinking in for everybody, this partnership between the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Public Investment Fund, the people who back the LIV Tour, and a huge infusion of cash and a new business unit that's going to be created as a partnership between those three groups. Do you think this is a good thing for the DP World Tour? What was your overall reaction to the news?
At first, I'm not too sure, to be totally honest. I have no idea. I mean, I don't really know anything about it or can make really much sense of anything. I mean, I'm not really sure, to be totally honest. But I guess it is what it is, and we'll see what happens going forward.
Does the potential possibilities going forward with this ecosystem involving the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, the injection of capital from the Public Investment Fund now, there are 10 cards from the DP World Tour that can allow guys direct access to the PGA Tour. Do the future possibilities excite you where the game's headed being a DP World Tour member?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be excited. I think what we have to offer now is those 10 PGA Tour cards is pretty exciting, and it sort of makes for me anyway, an exciting sort of rest of the season. And I think for everyone playing, there's not only just one thing to play for, there's plenty of things to play for now. So I think that is pretty cool.
Well, certainly get to enjoy the first victory already as a 20-year-old on the DP World Tour, setting yourself up for what should be a big season over there. Congrats on the win, and thanks for the time.
Thank you for having me on.
All right, so in case you missed Jay Monahan's interview earlier on Golf Today, we had the PGA Tour commissioner with us at the start of the show. We're going to give you some of the best sound bites. You're going to want to stick around and hear those next. Welcome back to Golf Today. Look at the LIV Golf timeline. How did we get from January 2020 to where we stand now? That was the initial proposal for a new premier golf league that was solidified. Remember PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan informing PGA Tour pros that they'll not be permitted to play on the PGA Tour and the PGL circuit. That was an idea first proposed by Andy Gardner with the Premier Golf League. November 2020, DP World Tour and the PGA Tour announced a strategic alliance. Greg Norman named CEO of LIV Golf in October of 2021. March 22, LIV Golf releases their limited 8-event, $255 million invitational series. Jay Monahan says, moving on from the conversation surrounding other potential tours, we're focused on legacy, not leverage, Whit.
The very first LIV Golf event began in England, June 9th of last year, and as soon as those players teed it up, they were suspended by the PGA Tour. In August, 11 players on the LIV series filed an antitrust lawsuit against the PGA Tour alleging unlawful monopoly and restraint of trade. The commissioner, Jay Monahan, also announcing sweeping changes to the tour's schedule and structure, the designated events with elevated purses. PGA Tour filing a lawsuit against the Public Investment Fund in October of last year, and then filing a motion to add the Public Investment Fund to a counterclaim lawsuit against LIV for interfering with its contracts with players who joined the new league. That happened in January of this year.
Remember, in April, DP World Tour won their arbitration case against LIV Golf, so fines and suspensions for playing in that kickoff event back in June of 2022 for LIV London. That was upheld. A month later, LIV Golf member Brooks Koepka hoist a Wanamaker, winning the PGA Championship at Oak Hill. And then yesterday, PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and LIV Golf form a partnership. So all pending litigation has ended. With that, let's welcome in our legal expert, that's sports law professor at Brooklyn Law School, Jody Balsam. Jody, we have a memorandum of agreement. In layman's terms, can you break down what that means between the Public Investment Fund of Saudi Arabia, PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and how binding is this?
Well, it's actually not binding at all. It's essentially an expression of the party's intent to enter a binding agreement. It's a term sheet. It's what they've mapped out in a very broad strokes, a framework for a future agreement that will be hammered down by their teams of lawyers. A term sheet of a couple of pages long is hardly sufficient to address the complexities of this combined commercial activities. I'm sure the final documents will number in the hundreds of pages.
We were speaking just before coming on the air, and part of this agreement, Jody, says that both sides will cease all legal action against each other. How simple or complicated of a process is that? How does one unfile a lawsuit or pull back on a lawsuit?
What the report suggests is that the parties will simply file a voluntary dismissal of their claims with prejudice, meaning the claims cannot be refiled. They cannot pursue these arguments or claims against their opposing parties. They have resolved them, and no court would be permitted to hear them. So it's as simple as filing a piece of paper, but usually that piece of paper is accompanied by a fully documented and executed settlement agreement. So it's a little surprising to hear that they plan to voluntarily dismiss the lawsuit when the devil is still in the details, and it will take them weeks, if not months, to finalize this merger agreement, which is effectively their settlement agreement for the lawsuit. I'd be surprised to see them voluntarily dismiss with prejudice, file that paper with the court until they've made a little more progress in actually resolving the complexities of this merger agreement.
Jody, in speaking with a friend who's a veteran in the M&A world, he said usually to see an agreement come to fruition, one side is swallowing the other. Here, the rhetoric just seemed so far apart that given where the pending legal action was, Were you surprised we got to this point, or is this a more common occurrence?
Well, it's fairly common for antitrust lawsuits to be resolved through some sort of accommodation of the rival competitors, that they find some way to coexist. And that's what these two competitors have done. The question remains whether they'll be permitted to go through with it, because a merger of this magnitude would certainly be worthy of government review, either the Department of Justice or the FTC, antitrust regulators, taking a closer look at it.
And speaking of the Department of Justice, that's a question that Jay Monahan addressed when we spoke to him earlier today. There is a DOJ inquiry into the PGA Tour that is not affected by this agreement or this MOA with the PIF. And there's a lot of letters being thrown around here, but what are we hearing about that Department of Justice inquiry?
Well, we haven't really heard much of anything other than that they've conducted a number of interviews with golfers. They've requested information from Augusta, from the PGA of America, from the tour itself. And the focus initially seemed to be on the labor side of the picture, right? So a Biden administration antitrust priority is to ensure healthy, competitive labor markets. So back in June of 2022, when the PGA Tour suspended golfers for playing in a competing league, the DOJ jumped in to inquire as to whether this offended the antitrust laws with respect to that labor market, the market for professional golfer services. Now, a year later, we have a combination of the three most significant purchasers of golfer services on the globe. And they're now combining. The question the DOJ will be interested in is, will this reduce competition for golfer services? Will this impose on professional golfers some sort of competitive harm, because they now will no longer have multiple bidders for their services? And I can only imagine that the merger will cause concern that reverberates from that initial investigation, but could also be expanded to explore other ways that the combination of these three entities might suppress competition in other markets, upstream or downstream from the tour, including the market to purchase television rights, the market to engage in sponsorship relationships.
Yeah, looking at a quote and expanding on what you were saying there, Jody, from Rep. Ro Khanna, he was saying that the deal should be scrutinized by regulators like the Federal Trade Commission, not just from a human rights standpoint, but also monopoly power. So how important is it that they're terming this a partnership with the Public Investment Fund, injecting capital into existing entities instead of, quote unquote, an outright merger?
So neither the DOJ nor the FTC would be bound by the way that the parties describe this transaction. They will look at function over form. If it looks like a merger, smells like a merger, they're going to invoke their jurisdiction to review it as a merger, even if the parties insist on calling it a partnership. But again, we lack information here as to whether it truly does resemble a merger. All we have is this MOA, and again, you know, the devil is in the details.
You lack information, we lack information, PGA Tour members, they lack information. That seems to be a common theme. As we get more information, we'll of course be seeing you again soon here on Golf Today.
Good to talk to you.
All right, stay with us as the show rolls on, and what a 48 hours it's been in the world of golf. Rory McIlroy started the week thinking, I'm just gearing up for my title defense at the RBC Canadian Open. Plot twist, a lot of other stuff to discuss when we return.
Rory McIlroy back to defend his title at the RBC Canadian Open, this on the heels of top 10 finishes at the PGA and the Memorial, but his form is not the story this week. McIlroy front and center as an advocate for the PGA Tour during this battle with the LIV series, and that was what he was being asked about today. Amy Rogers is there. We've had quite a couple of days, Amy, and the battle may be over, but the questions are still continuing at the RBC Canadian Open. What have you heard today?
Well, Rory McIlroy has largely been the face of this fight for the PGA Tour against LIV over this last year. And Rory McIlroy, who's the two-time defending champion here in Canada, has his image covering the entire one side of the clubhouse here at Oakdale Golf and Country Club, that same building where last night players came to meet with PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan to try and learn about this new direction the PGA Tour is taking with LIV and the PIF. And while McIlroy has played an integral role in shaping the PGA Tour's direction over this last year, even he was largely left in the dark. He said he knew that communication lines had been open between these two sides, but even he didn't know that this was happening until 6:30 yesterday morning. I had a chance to speak with McIlroy earlier today, and I got not just his reaction to the news, but also wanted to know what he sees as a path forward for the PGA Tour.
I think there's a distinction between, you know, a lot of the headlines yesterday were PGA Tour was merging with LIV, and I think that is not quite accurate. You know, this is a new partnership between the PGA Tour, the DP World Tour, and the Public Investment Fund. Obviously, PIF are the money behind LIV, but, you know, LIV is, like, ultimately the PGA Tour is now in control of LIV. And whatever that means for LIV going forward and its future, that's up to people that are way smarter and way above me to decide, but ultimately the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour have control of professional golf, which I think in the bigger scheme of things is a good thing.
You've hinted in press conferences over the last year you felt like these two sides needed to come together and to have a meeting, but in coming together they needed to do it the right way. Is this what you envisioned?
I think so. Look, this is all going to take a while to shake out. There's a lot of details to be thrashed out on this, and I'm sure, like, once we get into it, you know, there will be, you know, player input, and, you know, we're talking about very complex situations here. People left, people said bad things, people litigated. You know, trying to welcome that back is going to be very hard for a lot of guys out here to stomach. So, you know, they're going to have to work our way through that, along with a lot of other stuff. So, but again, when I think about the bigger picture and I project forward like 5 to 10 years, you know, ultimately I think this puts the game of golf at the men's professional level in a better spot.
You just mentioned a lot of those details still needing to be ironed out. What would you like to see put in place as they finalize this agreement, some of those details that you and the other players you feel like can get behind going forward?
I don't know. You know, guys have to, you know, the guys that stayed loyal, that had offers on the table, I'm not one of them. I was never offered anything from LIV, but the guys that were offered huge amounts of money and turned it down and stayed loyal to the PGA Tour, you know, there has to be something for those guys, right? I mean, it was a massive decision to do what they did. I feel for the right reasons, but now that all this is shaken out this way, you know, I feel for those guys that, you know, had that decision to make, and I felt like made the right decision, and are probably somewhat questioning that decision that they made now, right? So I think something has to be done for those guys, and I think for me, my hope and my ambition has always been to protect the PGA Tour and to protect the aspirational nature of it. So I hope for me going forward that is still the case, because I love what the PGA Tour stands for. I like the competition, the meritocracy of it all, and you know, I hope and you know, think that will continue.
When you say something for these guys going forward, the ones that did turn down offers from LIV, do you mean some sort of financial compensation?
Yeah, I think so. Ultimately, I think that's what we're talking about. Yeah.
I spoke with several other players today as well, just to get a sense of the tone here on site, now that they've had a day to sort of digest this news from the PGA Tour. And I talked with Harry Higgs, who told me it just feels somber. He said there's also really a sense of disappointment amongst the players. They felt like they were insulated, that golf and the PGA Tour were insulated from an outside threat like the PIF, and they just feel disappointed in knowing that that's no longer the case. He told me that he feels like now the players are still here this week in a commitment to the RBC Canadian Open and a commitment to RBC, who's also involved in the event at Harbortown, and says they're no longer here in support of the PGA Tour.